All right, welcome back to the Earfluence ribbon opening at the Industrious Podcast Studio in downtown Raleigh, inside the Wells Fargo building. Just want to give some quick love to the person who made this happen, all the greenery here, Kay Leggett, the houseplant hippie. Really appreciate it. It looks amazing. All right, let's get to our next guest here. He's going to give us tips on how startup founders can try to raise capital. He is in the venture capital space. His name is Tim McLaughlin. He's a Harvard grad, a hockey player, and has helped raise something like $100 million. I don't know. We'll get into that, but it's a lot of money. Anyway, he's a managing partner at Co-Founders Capital. Welcome, Tim McLaughlin.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here. Looking forward to the conversation.
Oh, my gosh. So was I right? Is it something like $100 million?
Just south of $100 million. There's some different reporting requirements you got to do once you get over $100 million. So yeah,
okay.
But between the co-founders capital family, including the founding partner, David Gardner, we've raised about $95 million.
So, wow. Yeah. Okay. So tell us about what you do, what your thesis is for co-founders.
So we are investing in very early stage B2B software companies, primarily in North Carolina, but across the Southeast. So early stage for us can mean anything from pre-revenue to just at revenue. So we like to say that nothing's too early for us to start talking with founders. A lot of venture capitalists you see are going to tell you that they want something later, more mature, more traction. But we want to start talking to founders and CEOs of these early stage companies as early as possible.
Yeah.
But very early. So North Carolina, Southeast B2B software companies is what we're looking for.
Okay. And so how many investments are you making in a given year?
So the last couple of years have been a bit of outliers.
Yeah.
And we backed off our investment pace a little bit. But traditionally, we've been making 4 to 6 investments a year since about 2015. So
yeah.
Got about 33 companies now that we've invested in, and got a couple more that hopefully we'll be announcing in the next couple of weeks.
Wow. So pre-seed or pre-revenue, and you're only writing 4 to 6 checks a year. You're writing, you know, $500,000 checks, at least, I think, if I read the headlines, right?
Yeah, so it started out where we were doing $300,000 to $400,000 checks. That was back in the 2015, 2016 timeframe.
Yeah.
And now with our new fund that we just raised, we're actually writing between $1 and $2 million checks. So,
okay.
Yeah, we're adding another zero, and it's getting bigger.
Yeah, so how do you evaluate these companies that are pre-seed, pre-revenue, to be able to write them a million-dollar check? I mean, you know, that seems like it's a difficult task to figure out what is the best idea from this.
Yeah, and what we've noticed is the further along the company is, when they have some historical financials, they have customers, they have real revenue, it's a little bit easier on the diligence side to see the traction, the sales cycle, the price points, what customers are going to pay. But what we did for the earlier stage companies is really we talked to a lot of customers and industry experts. And what we try to do in that is validate the assumptions that are driving their business model. So every business model from founders has certain assumptions that are very critical.
Yeah.
Could be sales cycle, could be cost of customer acquisition, could be price points. And when we go and do our diligence and talk to customers, do those assumptions make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So would you pay this amount of money if this software technology provided this kind of ROI for you? How long would it take you to make a decision or procure that software or buy? How many employees do you have? Things that we can really test, stress test those assumptions. And if they all start to check the box, okay, well, maybe that makes sense. But that's really is the main way of diligence is trying to sell product and talking to customers.
Okay. Well, let's speak to some of the listeners here, some of the viewers here who are Industrious members or who are founders.
Sure.
And some of them may be thinking about raising capital. It can be a difficult process. So let's go through 3 different stages of raising capital.
Okay.
And let's see if we can get a piece of advice for each of these 3 stages. So the first one is getting in front of an investor. I imagine you get a ton of emails, a ton of LinkedIn requests, a ton of just nonsense in your inbox. How can a founder get in touch with somebody like you when there's no previous relationship already?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would spend most of your time pre-qualifying investors for whatever you're going to ask them for. And that may not be money. It may be an introduction. It may be some advice or feedback. But going on to websites, looking at other companies that these investors have invested in before, and then sending a very targeted, personalized message that says, hey, here's why I think this might be interesting to you. It might not be for an investment. It might be an ask for, I see that you're connected with somebody else. And maybe you can make an intro on my behalf, and I'd love to help tell you what I do.
Yeah.
But a lot of research on the front end, highly targeted, personalized messages. LinkedIn, every VC is going to be on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Our emails are on our website, which maybe my inbox is about to blow up, but but you can get a hold of me.
Yeah.
The other thing you can do is get a warm introduction. So folks are known in the entrepreneurial community. We do events here at a space like Industrious or any of the other co-working spaces. Mm-hmm. We've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
There are ways that you can get warm introductions to investors. And if I get a warm introduction, there's almost a 0% chance I'm going to not reach out to that founder or respond.
Yeah. Oh, it's so true. I have talked to a lot of founders who are looking to raise capital. And I'll know right away that they're not a fit for co-founders because it doesn't fit the thesis, right? But at the same time, I might say, hey, would you like an introduction to Tim? He's always gracious with his time and can point you in the right direction on who might be the best person to chat with.
A piece of advice for founders to think about it is getting quality deal flow is an investor's job.
Mm-hmm.
And those investors are saying no 99.5% of the time to founders.
Yeah.
They have to build a brand and a reputation in the entrepreneurial community when they say no that much.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. And so when you think about approaching and going and talking to an investor, they want deal flow and they want to help the entrepreneurial community.
Yeah.
That's how they maintain their brand. So just think about that when you outreach. If it seems like too daunting of a task, they're probably going to respond.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. Next phase is, let's say the pitch deck or the actual pitch to a venture capitalist or investor. What advice can you give, or what mistakes are you seeing in these decks or pitches?
The first mistake I see is kind of a bigger picture kind of mistake, which is don't think you're walking into a meeting and the only positive outcome or success is getting a check.
Oh.
That time or in the next month, 2 months, 3 months.
Yeah.
Building relationships, getting other introductions, getting feedback and data points. Those are all successes along the way of accomplishing your end goal.
That's great. And, let's double click on that a second.
Sure.
Because I imagine there you have some stories of, you know, meeting with entrepreneurs, founders, and then years later, you're like, oh, I need to invest in this.
The last three, maybe four of the last five investments that we've made, we've known the founders for several years and got our first pitch from them years before we ever wound up making an investment.
Wow.
And so when you think about that, and it just so happened that our fund thesis changed. We could meet them later on in their journey, write a little bit bigger check into their business than what we were originally talking about, but it's building those relationships. And I'm sure all of those along the way, we made introductions that were helpful to them in the earlier stages of their journey.
So, that's awesome. I really love that piece of advice.
Other mistakes that I see. So that's like a big picture thing when you go into these meetings, right? Set expectations on you're not getting a check. I've seen founders that have pitched and at the end of the pitch said, by the way, we're closing around tomorrow. If you'd like to participate, I need to know. I mean, that has happened.
Wow.
Founders have given the pitch with the detailed terms that they are raising capital on. If they've already raised some portion of that round, it is okay to say what those terms are. Excuse me. If you do not yet have a lead investor.
Yeah.
Spelling out the detailed terms on which an investor will invest in your round is probably not the right thing to do.
Wow.
They're probably going to have some say in what those terms are going to be.
It's confidence though, right?
It's a little confidence. It borders on the line of arrogance, I would say. Some other mistakes that I have seen, and this goes from mistakes and maybe a little bit more into the advice, is if you lose a shred of credibility because of something you do or say, everything else you say from that point on will be suspect.
Oh, yeah.
and the investor will feel the need to double click, will feel the need to validate.
Yeah.
And it's the second you lose that that shred of credibility. And a way that might happen, so I'll give some examples. A founder might say, hey, this other venture capital fund is very interested in making an investment. We think that they're going to be our lead. They're moving forward in diligence. Well, we probably know that investor.
Right.
And then when we reach out and they say, wait, which company are you talking about? That deal's dead.
Oh.
Dead, right? I know you want to create a sense of urgency and you know, show there's some demand for the investment.
Yeah.
But that's a big no-no. Putting advisors, putting board members, employees on your as part of your team that we may know and know are not that involved or working that hard or that knowledgeable about your business. That's a big mistake.
Oh.
And so it's this balance of showing like we're further along than we are
and
losing credibility at the same time.
Yeah.
And so when I pivot that, I pivot into a piece of advice, which is entrepreneurs always need to build their story up. Do not let an investor tear your story down. Example I always give, and I use this a lot, is don't say you have 20 customers and then have me, the VC, say, well, how many of them are paying?
Right.
And you say, well, only two of them are paying. The rest of them are just beta testers. Well, you don't have 20 customers, and I just tore your story down. If instead you said, we have two fully paid customers, 18 beta testers that we hope are going to convert, and so we think that we might have 20 in the next couple of months.
That's different.
You just built your story up. And now I'm even more excited than I was before.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's great. All right. We only have a couple minutes here. But the third phase is, say, due diligence. You've got a letter of intent out. You want to make an investment. What can the founder look for there? And what advice can you give for a founder as they're going through the due diligence process?
Yeah. So a couple things. And this is... you hear the same kind of pieces of feedback all the time. So I'll give maybe a deeper layer of advice to some founders here on this side. So some pieces of advice are do your diligence on the investor.
Mm.
So they've made investments before. Talk to their founders. What were they like as investors? How were they helpful? How were they not helpful? How were they invasive in the business? And then you'll know better how to leverage that investor going forward. If you're raising from an institutional fund, you can ask an institutional fund, being a venture capitalist or a family office, someone that does this professionally, you could ask questions like, where are we in your fund life cycle?
Mm.
Like, for example, we have a 10-year fund life cycle. So in 10 years, I would like return of capital to go back to our investors.
Yeah.
So where are you in that journey? Does that only give you 5 years until I'm expecting a return? Huh. Does it give you 8 years?
What a great question.
Another question founders should be asking is, how much reserve capital would you have for us?
Yeah.
How many other portfolio companies are you supporting? Do those numbers add up and make sense? Our third fund is $50 million. If I told 25 founders that I have $5 million in reserve capital for them, that's not accurate.
Right.
And so you have to start digging, and it'll give you some expectations and some next level questions to be asking the investors.
Oh, this is awesome. What great pieces of advice. Tim, I'm sorry we're so short on time here, but thank you so much for coming on the show today.
I love it.
How can our viewers and listeners connect with you?
I occasionally will go through LinkedIn and catch up with some folks, but my email address is probably the best way to do it. And you can go on a little journey to find my email address. And if you can't figure it out or can't find it, then that's your first test. That maybe it might not be worth it, but LinkedIn or website, you'll be able to find me.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tim.
Yep. Great.